Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
This example I gave earlier, we were teaching, and then the move of the Spirit came, and I just told a lady, stand up, I'm going to point at you, and then power of God's going to come on you, and this. Now, the moment I said that, the devil said, you've played whaley. You know what that means? You've exposed yourself. They will find out how false you are. Now, the thing about that is this. I'm not the one. I'm not. Now, what am I saying? The devil is trying to bring doubts into my head. The bottom line is, she did, I did, God did, like Brother Hagin would say. I'm telling you that I can tell you stories upon stories that, see, and this one happens almost every time. Almost every time. Amongst other things, and by the mercies of God, and I say this with reverence, amongst other things I found in the area God uses me, is that I have a supernatural equipment to lay hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. It happens. I can, by the mercies of God, I didn't say me, by the mercies, I could do that more faster than some other people. It's just God's grace. It's not me. It's all gifted. But almost every time, at times some people, I barely touch them, they'll start speaking in tongues. But almost every time you make a call for that, the devil will say, this is one time it won't happen. This person won't. Of course, at times your faith is involved, but he will say, it won't work. But you know what? I just ignore him. And almost every time, unless people say they don't want to, or they're just telling you, I don't know, you know, they have reservation, it works. It works. But I'm trying to say it's in my heart, it's not in my head. So you might have doubts fly against your head, dismiss it, and carry on with your life. Number four. Faith, your faith, my faith, won't work when there is an air of unforgiveness about you. Faith won't work when there is an iota of unforgiveness in your life or in my life. Faith won't work when there is an air of unforgiveness in our lives. Mark 11, 23, 24, 25. Or you can even start from 22 if you want. But let's start from 23 because of time. He said, for verily I say unto you, NKJV, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, this is talking about the operation of faith, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. You see it? You see, Jesus said, you don't doubt where? In your heart. Meaning doubts can come in your mind. Forget that. So long as in your heart you don't doubt, which is where the word of God comes to reside in your spirit, man. He said, but you believe that the things which you say will be done, you will have whatever you say. Verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Now see 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, what? Abhor it. Forgive them. Meaning, see, Jesus, every part of the Bible was not originally written in chapter and verses. Men divided it for easy reference for us when we're reading. So verse 25 is as much a part of what Jesus was saying from verse 22. So he was saying in operating faith, you must understand that it could be an hindrance. If there's unforgiveness, it will stand in your way. Now the thing about it is that forgive them that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. This is what was applicable under their time. Somebody might argue, no, in our time it's no longer applicable. It's not, I forgive for God to forgive me. I know. I understand. Me too. I know. I'll come to the New Testament and I will show us in the New Testament that it's even bigger. Because to whom much is given, much is also expected. So if we fast forward to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 32. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Let no corrupt communication, meaning don't talk vulgar, don't talk nonsense. Let it not proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What are you saying? Is it profiting people? And grieve not. Now, people say, I don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. Let's find out how you can. He said, and grieve not the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of salvation, until the day of redemption. Now, see, he immediately tells us how you can grieve the Holy Spirit. This is how you can grieve him. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, see this, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, watch it. Before, he said, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Now, he said, forgiven even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So he said, in this New Testament, this is how you forgive. You forgive the way God forgave you. How did God forgive me and you? Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God didn't wait for us to come and ask for repentance. He forgave us in advance and sent Jesus. We were still sinners. He said, if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God, how much more? So he said, look, as a Christian, you don't say, I am trying to forgive you so that God can forgive me. He said, no, God already forgave you. But he's now saying the way he is, that's how you must behave, because you have the God kind of faith. Meaning you must forgive in advance. So what that means is have deposits of forgiveness. So that when your brother will offend you, the deposit is always there. You just bring it out and you spend the forgiveness. I know I'm touching some people now. Should we stop here and just close the preaching? He said, forgive in advance. He was on the cross. The people he created were nailing him. He was like, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They had not even asked Father for forgiveness. He forgave in advance. Hey, if you don't beg me, I will not forgive. Faith will not work. In my life, whenever I am personally, now I'm talking of me, when I'm trying to exercise faith for anything, this is the first place I check in my life. If I see that it's not working immediately, maybe there's a little kind of, it's not happening, I just say, wait a minute, I check. How is my love walk? Because I know that's one thing that can stop my operation of faith. I just check my love walk. Now, I'll tell you something. Somebody might say, well, I'm walking in love towards everybody. I'm fine. I'm good. You know, sir, I thought I was good too. Until one day the Lord showed me something. And I'm about to show you too. It may apply to you. I don't know, but it applied to me at that time. And I'm grateful to God, sir, for 1 Timothy chapter 2 that you took. And then the Lord began to talk to me about forgiving the president in advance. I knew I would have other witnesses in the house. You know, let me tell you something. This might sound funny. I'm telling you where the devil gets us. A picture comes up on NTA News. Bitterness rises up in your stomach. He does not even know you exist. The person you are angry at does not even know. Because Nigeria does not even have good statistics. So he does not even know you exist. And by the way, you don't even know all the stories. What newspaper is telling you? You don't know the truth. You don't know whether in his heart, the person, whether the governor, the whatever you are angry at, is begging God or asking God for help. But maybe because of the things surrounding him, he can't do anything. We don't know the full story. He said, who are you to judge another man's servant? But you are abhorring bitter. The Lord began to show me that I used to have. In fact, the truth about it is this. If you are one of them, you would understand now because the Lord dealt with me. This is some years ago. The Lord showed me that I abhorred bitterness against Nigerian police. And yes, sir, I did. I hated, not now, past tense. I hated police. It's recorded. I hated. If I just see police, I hated them. The Lord dealt with me with this. That you hated them. It's affecting your life. So you might think I'm good with the brethren, but what of them? And I began to adjust, sir. I began to pray. I get to a checkpoint. Instead of being angry, I say, Father, I thank you for the police. I'm talking of verbal. I know I'm stepping on toes now. Yeah, verbal. I began to. You know what started happening? I started having favors with police. One day I was coming from teaching at Rhema. 9:30 we finished school. I was maybe like 10 o'clock driving home. The car I was driving had a tinted car. One policeman just stopped me. He said, "Pa," as he was looking, he said, yeah, he quoted one constitution thing. I don't know whether he even quoted it right. He said, "You ought to have a tinted permit." Me, that I went, I did biometrics for my tinted permit. I don't like any, I'm a man, I don't like any hazards with anybody. I make sure I do my thing by the book. So I said, okay, I knew I had it, so I wasn't scared. I said, "Can I just please park? Because we're on the road." Just did like this. "Are you a pastor?" I said, "What makes you ask that?" "You talk like a pastor. Go!" I started having favor with police because my faith was working. I was not having unforgiveness. So faith will not work if there is an air of unforgiveness about you. You got to check your heart. Am I walking in love towards people? Number five. So we said this God kind of faith is what we have. We have a measure of it. We said it can increase by feeding it on the word and exercising it. We said it is of the heart and not of the head. We said it will not work if there is unforgiveness. So in walking your walk of faith, someone in your family, and the thing has not happened up until now, maybe just before you leave this building, pick up your phone and send a text message and make up. And watch how speedily that thing will come true. Just make up. I was teaching along this line in our campus in Port Harcourt. Began to teach along this line in class. And I said what I just said because the Holy Spirit inspired me to say it. Now, somebody the following day came, one of the students, and gave a testimony. And said they were so mad with this person. I think the madness even became a serious matter in the family. It was their brother. That when I said that thing, he left the class, he acted on it. There's healing he has been believing God for his father. He said he called his dad after that. And he noticed that the man said he was good. Now, of course, that's it. You know, you can't always fully go into all the details of all that, how that faith operated. But what he was trying to say was that his unforgiveness affected even a lot of things. At times, you just need to check this area. These are the roadblocks we have to be mindful of. Number five, faith is released in words through your mouth. Faith is released in words through your mouth. Check what we are doing. We found out what our faith is all about. We've examined what could be a roadblock to it. We're now saying, how do we make our faith work? That's what this is about. It is released in words through your mouth. Mark 11, 22 to 23. He said, "I have the faith of God," or "I have the God kind of faith." He said, "For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall," watch this, "whosoever shall" what? "Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Let me ask you a question. What will come to pass? What will you have? You see, very good answer. You know, many people think it is what they believe that will come to pass. What you believe may not come to pass unless you say it. You can believe that you'll get a brand new car. It won't come to pass unless you start confessing it. Faith is really, that's, Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said, watch it. He believed those things will come to pass. You know, Jesus never said he will have what he believed. He said he will have whatsoever he says. It's not what you believe Jesus said you would have. It is what you say. You can believe there is God. If you don't confess Jesus as your Lord, you can't be saved. Is it the truth? Jesus said, it's not what you believe, it's what you say you would have. Of course, believing is the starting point, which is the same for faith for salvation. You must believe God is, you believe he raised Christ, and then you confess it. So faith is released in words through your mouth. Say it. What are you saying against the situation of your life? Where you are today is a result of what you have been saying yesterday. Where you will be tomorrow is a result of what you are saying today. It's released in words through your mouth. It's released in words through your mouth. You see in Ezekiel, we won't be able to read it because of time. In Ezekiel 37, some of us are familiar with this story. The valley of dry bones. The Lord took him. The hand of the Lord came upon the prophet, took him into a valley. He saw dry bones. What was it God said? "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now watch it. Basic truths about faith. God began to release words into Ezekiel. So faith began to come to him. You see it? He didn't act alone. He acted on God's word. So You see the basic truths? Son of man, can this happen? He said, well, Lord, I don't know, but you know. Son of man, prophesy. What does prophesying ask you to do? Proclaim, say to this bone, rise up, leave. You know, I'm just, you know, using words we would understand. The scene is this. What are you saying to the dry bones in your life? What are you saying? Notice that those bones were still as dry, despite the fact that God the Father was there with Ezekiel. Nothing happened. Until the Son of Man, who has been put on high to have dominion, began to say something. What are you saying about Nigeria? So I'm glad about this house. We always pray for Nigeria. Every time I've been here, we pray for Nigeria. What are you saying? You see, it's what we say about Nigeria that we have. Collective faith now. It's what we say. Now, this Nigeria said, it's not good. It won't be good. You won't catch me say Nigeria is not good. You will never catch me say that. I began to understand these things. We lived in a place in Abuja. They moved newly. Some parts, the main roads were tarred, but some inner roads were not tarred. So me and some brothers, we get ourselves together. Every time we drive by, we say, we call this road tarred in the name of Jesus. We call this road tarred. The first thing we knew, the resident association in that area tarred the road singly. As I'm talking to you now, government is dualizing the road. We'll just be walking. We call this road tarred in the name of Jesus. We call this road tarred in the name of Jesus. We call this road tarred. It's what we say that we are. What are you saying about your life? I used to say to a colleague in the UK then, no, I can't fail. I can't. See, I never got fired. I've never been fired in my life. And I used to say, you can't sack me. Now, see, there are things balanced to that. You can't be lazy and walk and say they won't sack you. They will sack you. Let me tell you the truth. Before you say the preacher said I should just be... No, they will sack you. In fact, if you work for me, I'll be the first to sack you. I will. But I'm doing my work. I say, you can't sack me. I'd rather resign. You can't sack me. You can't sack me. I would have what I say. It's released through words. It's released in words through our mouth. So you have to say. Number six, basic truth about faith. Number six is connected to number five, but I just want to clarify. Faith will work either by saying it or by praying it. So we're seeing how it works now. It will work either by saying it or by praying it. But the thing is this, when you pray it, you must still say it. I'll explain it. Faith will work either by saying it or by praying it. But when you pray it, you still have to say it. Mark 11:23 and 24. I will show us the two distinctive features in 23 and 24 that illustrates this point perfectly. Now, see verse 23. If you do an x-ray of this verse, you will never find the word pray in it. Take a moment to quickly look at it. Is there the word pray in it? You know you won't find the word pray in it. Jesus just said, in operating faith, just say what you want to happen and it will happen. But Jesus knew also that not everybody will operate at this level of faith. You know, some people might just be growing in their Christian walk. But either way, Jesus wants everybody to get results. I believe that the highest way to operate it is to say it. But he said, in case you don't know how to operate it by saying it, primarily, you can pray it. Now, see verse 24. It's the same thing he's saying. He's just giving you two ways you can operate it. Your desire was for the mountain to move, wasn't it? So he now said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. When ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you can either say it or you can pray it. But the thing about it is this. When you are praying it, you must still verbalize. Why? If you say, I'm just praying in my heart. That's the point I'm making. It won't work. Yeah, I'm just praying. You didn't say it. You're just praying in your heart. You're just praying. No. You must say it. You must still verbalize. You remember when Anna was praying, the Mark 11:23, and say, I have found in my personal life, as I began to learn more about this particular point, when it comes to say it, when it comes to money, personally or not family, or when other people's faith are involved, you can't always make it work. Which is the number seven point that we're going to go into. Scriptures for number six. We see scriptures in 1 Kings 17:1. Scriptures for number six. We see that Elijah said it. But when we fast forward into James 5:17-18, we realize that Elijah prayed it. Regarding there will be rain, there will be no rain. So we see those two operations also in that scripture. I remember one time, if I go to point seven, we're in the living room. That was when we just came to Nigeria newly in Abuja. And then all of a sudden, my wife was on the phone. I noticed she was talking with somebody. And then she dropped the phone and she looked at me and she just went, hey, so and so, mentioned the name of the person, is a friend's husband that just called her. That my wife's friend passed away, I think just about when she was giving birth to that child. And so that child was a small child and they took the child to live with the grandma, you know. And the child had been living with the grandma. And then I think she's just she's young, like very, very small child. And all of a sudden, they now just found out. I don't know whether she was five or four. I don't know at that time. They found out, for some reason they found out. Now, I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm just telling the story. That the private part of the girl, the child, was blocked. It was blocked. So they needed to do a surgery to open it. So my wife was really, I noticed that on the phone she was she wasn't too happy. And then she dropped and she was telling me the story. And my wife said, pray, let's pray, let's pray. That is, and I was sat across. Later on she told me that when I first spoke, she said, he has come again. And I sat, I said, why are you behaving like this? Don't you know why God told them to call you? Don't stop behaving like you understand who you are. God directed them to call you for a reason. The girl will be fine. The girl will be fine. I said, we're not even going to pray about it. She's just going to be fine. That was how I said it. Do you know they called my wife within 3 days? They took the child to the hospital for the final this thing before the operation. And all of a sudden, they saw the thing was open. It wasn't me. It's Jesus. It works. So number seven, which is the point I now want to end with. We know what faith is. We know how it came to us. We know what can be a roadblock to our operation of faith. We know how to put our faith to work, expressing words, saying what we want to say. And again, let me just finalize this. Please, like I said, saying it alone is not just it. We must also do it. There is a works part of faith. I was on the plane yesterday with somebody. So they came before we took off. They gave us sweets. And I opened mine, put it in my mouth. The sachet, small sweet sachet, put it in my pocket. Because I just felt when I get to somewhere, there's a bean, I'll put it. The person next to me, I noticed, opened the thing, put it, and it's a brand new fine plane. Honestly, I was annoyed. If I had gone by my fleshly inclination, I would have punched him. But I was restrained. So we can say Nigeria will be good, and you are driving, and you just finish that Coke, and you just wind down that your nice car, and no, I'm particular about those kind of areas. We must understand there is a works part to it as well. You cannot, number 7 point, you cannot always make your faith work for others. You must understand this truth. On this particular point, I have found a number of Christians that have been annoyed with God, that have thought God is a respecter of persons, that have thought God was not fair to them. You cannot always make your faith work for other people. You can't. In your own life, you can always make faith work. But when somebody else is involved, their will is involved. And you cannot always violate people's will. Even God cannot do this. And I know that will come as a shock to some of us, but I'll prove it by scriptures. Even God can't do this. If God can do this, please listen carefully to this so that you don't think I'm preaching error. If God can do this, and I want us to take a moment to think about it too, then it will make everybody get saved in the world today. Tomorrow we will go into the millennium. Does God want everybody saved? Why can't he get them? He can't violate their will. If a man says he wants to go to hell, God will honor his will. Just in case some of us don't understand. God can't. Why? When he created man, he made man a free moral agent. He gave man the right to choose. God can't. So if God cannot always do it, do you think you can always make your faith work for people? On this point, I have found many Christians stumble. And they're like, but I prayed. I believed God that mommy should not die. But mommy still died. Why God? And they're hungry. But the question is this, what did mommy want? Brother Egan talked about one day, he just finished teaching and he was going to another thing to do on the campus in Rema, USA. And a student came and said, Brother Egan, can I talk to you briefly? How come for Uncle Charlie to die? Right? He said, I don't even know Uncle Charlie to first know how come he died. Said, but before we went on break, I joined hands with some Christians. We prayed, we believed God that Uncle Charlie should not die. And eventually he died during the break. How come? God didn't answer. How come for him to die? Break, instead he asked him, what did Uncle Charlie want? So well, when I got home, they said Uncle Charlie said he wanted to go home and be with the Lord. Right? He said he shouted, glory, it worked, faith worked. Uncle Charlie's faith worked for him. He wanted to go home and be with the Lord. You can't keep him. You couldn't keep Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie wants to go home. You can't. At times you are praying for loved ones. Be careful. When people, I know a little about this personally in my life. When people get close, the pain might become too much. Now, maybe because they couldn't take healing on their own, fine. It would have been good to teach people more. But some people get close to that final stage. They can't take it anymore. And for a brief moment, if they're a Christian, they might see glory. And they see glory, and they don't want to stay here anymore. And they go, you can't keep them. You can't. So you can't always make it work for people. But what you can do is begin to school them little by little. If you have family members you want, begin to introduce faith to them little. Begin to show them the word of God so that they can grow. But when I have found in the life of baby Christian, you can always make it work. That is why some people will find out when I first became born again, Pastor, we just pray, that illness will just go. Bam! And then after 6 years of being in the church, you've been gone through foundation, you've done all the training, they've almost made you deacon and all of that, and then you still want a pastor to pray and it's not working. And you say, Pastor has lost it. He doesn't have that anointing again. Pastor didn't lose it. You were supposed to grow up. It wasn't Pastor that lost it. God expects you to do something with the faith he gave you too. You've had enough to start acting on it. You can always make it work for baby Christians at times, but not always all the time you can make it work for everybody. Then in the life of your own children, especially when they are still in your house, you can always make faith work because you have oversight over them under God. So you can always make it work. But when you want to pray for people, you have to be careful to find out. Another thing I found that we ministers make as error in this area is you always want people to receive at the level of your own faith. When I'm ministering to people, I ask them what they can believe God for. People come with sickness, they want you to lay. I ask them, what can you believe God for? Some people can just tell you, I can believe God that if we agree, I will go down to their level and believe at their level. I don't always make them come to my level. I would rather, because the bottom line is God will honor faith. But over time, he just expects us to grow and increase our faith. So we must understand this. You can. And as I close, there is one thing that powers faith. Love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. You can say, I'm a great faith man. If you don't live in love towards the brethren, if you don't live in love towards the body of Christ, your faith will not work as it ought. Faith works by love. And God is love. And he has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you have love and you can walk in love. I believe that many of us would now begin to go and put these things. It is this, once you give the command, you don't go give it a second time. If it's the command of faith. Jesus didn't say keep nagging at the mountain. So be careful. Don't rush to give the command of faith. Take time to establish the word of God in your heart so that the moment you give that command of faith, you know of a truth. Nothing can stop you. And peradventure, you say to me, I've given that command, but it's not changing. Keep your confession. Say, Father, I thank you. This is surely coming to pass in my life. I thank you. I received my healing. I thank you because I stay healed. The symptoms might be there. We don't go by what we see. We go by faith. He didn't say you would have what you see. He said, you will have what you say. Father, I thank you because I don't have sickness. Sickness is a curse of the Lord. Therefore, I no longer have sickness in my body. You keep saying that. And then maybe you think, oh Lord, it's taking long. But I gave the command of faith. And keep thanking God for it. Keep thanking God for it. Father, I thank you that I have it. The Bible talked about Abraham. He said he staggered not at the promise through unbelief. But he was strengthened in faith. Somebody said, that's what I want. I want to be strong in faith. He showed us immediately how Abraham was strong in faith. He said he was strengthened in faith. Doing what? Giving glory to God. So meaning, can you say glory to God? Glory. Then you are strong in faith. So it's not coming. Keep saying glory to God is coming. Glory. Glory to God, I'm having it. I thank you, Father, it is mine. We give you praise. How about we stand up and give him glory for his word? Oh, glory, hallelujah.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,